Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos. It is practice number 7 in the books for your New Orleans Saints. We'll also take a look at the NFC South. We've been meaning to do that here from some of those other teams. It's been a while, hasn't it, Jordan, since we heard from Noodle Arm. Did we get Noodle Arm? Is that what we got? A little Noodle Arm? No? You don't remember? That's awesome. Good job. But we will hear from the head coaches and just kind of keep tabs as to what's going on in the NFC South as well. Because, getting closer. 1 week from today, we'll be talking and breaking down and getting ready for the preseason opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's going to be an interesting game from this aspect. A, I want to see the competition level. Obviously, I want to see the depth on both teams. Something we'll talk about a week from now more in depth, but a good sign of a good team is the depth that you have when that second and third unit gets out there and they start playing out well. I know we're going to probably get into and you're going to hear, is it important to win preseason games or not? Drew Brees back in 2006 remembered after preseason saying he didn't think they'd win a game. They went on to the NFC Championship game. I want to say there were seasons where they were successful and they'd win a preseason game and vice versa. I think it's still a decent indication. You can kind of get a – I'm not talking like if you lose 17, 16 and the first string plays well. But I think you can see when the unit's in there that has mainly starters and it doesn't go well or doesn't look as athletic as the other teams, then you're not. I'm going to predict this. For y'all, when y'all watch this game next week, I think you're going to come out of it going, boy, the Saints are deep. Because I think, as I've said in the past, since training camp really started, OTAs and minicamp, you're going to see players cut by the Saints that probably latch on to other teams. You're going to see players cut by the Saints that have started for the Saints or seen a significant amount of snaps for the Saints. That's different. A lot of the guys that you are going to see playing for a job are guys that were dependent for starting roles and things of that nature. So we'll get into all of that and more. Plus, get your opinions on the latest since we last chatted. The Brett McMurphy story has gone big. It was funny. I saw him tweet today that he was on SportsCenter or ESPN 10 times yesterday, and that was more than he had been in the 5 years that he worked there. Anyway. Urban Meyer on paid administrative leave with Ohio State. Is it time for the attorneys to try to find a clause and out due diligence? He tweeted a comment or somebody tweeted a statement or comment from him saying essentially yesterday that he's looking forward to all of this ending rather quickly. So we can discuss that if you'd like as well. At ESPN Radio, no less the way to follow us over on Twitter, Facebook as well. Jordan the intern, you can see in front of you on the computer there, lots of likes, lots of folks looking at it. One of the reasons we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook as well. I'm posting a lot of the pictures and videos, and today easily the highlight of the practice. And Jordan was standing next to me and he goes, all right, so what stood out today? A day that, he was having trouble trying to, grab what was good from the practices or not. Although he did say two things. He's learning. But he said two things without even knowing that he actually brought up very good points. One, wow, practice is almost done. We're sitting there like at 11:10, and sure enough, it didn't seem to drag Jordan. So that's a good indication that practice has good tempo. When you're looking at the clock and you're going, wow, you've been out here almost 3 hours, and you don't realize it. That means the tempo is really well. Also, there was a lot of action, so you felt like you were watching a lot of things today. You saw a lot of team periods, a lot of goal line, a lot of zone, red zone team periods, running and passing, walk-through speed, regular speed. So you saw five or six different team periods that had a lot of action and inside the 20. Plus, it was packed today, right? You had a lot of military personnel in there with a lot of children there as well. So it was kind of cool. You had that excitement, that fan base, a little different than yesterday, right? Remember yesterday, you were like, you were yawning. I was yawning. You were like, and you said it. You mentioned it at the beginning. You felt like it was dragging. And we touched on the show. Sean Payton had to kind of re-energize the practice. Remember? So you could feel the sense and difference today from yesterday.
Yeah.
Joey, play the sounder.
Four?
Jordan Sounder, remember? Jordan Sounder is Bob Uecker now, commenting on the... Was that really what you gave me?
You asked me, did you sense it was sluggish or was it more up-tempo today?
You said, yep.
It was more up-tempo today than was yesterday.
Right. This is normally what you would have interjected, at least a difference or two that you saw yesterday to today. Yes, Gus, I felt that it was like, hey, you know, it was cool to see some plays in the end. I got a yep. Dude, you're done. Somebody find out the name of the color commentator for Bob Uecker in Major League, because that's your new name. And until you do better, that was what we'll call you. It's not Jordan the intern. It's whatever that guy's name was. That's your new name. We got to find out that guy's name because I can't remember it.
Dynamite drop in money. That
Monty.
Broadcast school has really paid off.
There it is.
Dynamite drop in money.
There it is.
Broadcast school has really paid
there
off.
There it is. Joey, just save it. Put it in the bank because that is Jordan Sounder.
We're calling Jordan Monty the intern?
Monty. I'm sorry. That's right. Monty the intern. Monty.
Is that really?
Yeah. Tomorrow you will have another chance when asked if you can, you know, contribute to the show in some sort of way to eventually earn your name back.
I hate to say, but if you pull it up on YouTube.
That's something I have to earn back.
What'd you say, Joey?
If you pull it up on YouTube as Dynamite Drop In Monty, the guy next to Bob Uecker does look like Jordan.
Really?
The hair, the face, the vest, and the snowball.
Somebody right now is making a splice picture right now of Jordan the intern and Monty the color commentator for the Indians.
Yeah.
In the movie Major League.
I got to send that to you.
I know. It is incredible, Jordan, that you have to re-earn your name based on, well, I mean, again, can you blame me?
Yes.
You can blame me.
I am your intern.
No, what I'm saying, though, can you blame me after I asked you if you could tell a difference or not? Because I was actually giving you credit.
Yep, I could tell
on
a difference.
On some of your observations, even though you were making observations, didn't feel like I saw anything today. And then when we talked about it, you said, oh yeah, that's true.
Nope.
And then your comment about, wow, practice is almost over, you didn't even realize that was actually an observation.
Nope.
So when I was asking you to help and you give me a yep, you're now Monty the intern. It's not a bad name. And guess what?
Monte Ellis.
Yeah, you see? There you go. How about you tweet, ladies and gentlemen, at ESPN Radio NOLA, all the nice Montys that are out there. Monty Python, that's my contribution. See, Monty's
Hall.
Not a bad thing. Say that again, Joey.
Monty Hall. And who's number 41?
Monty Williams.
Oh, my God.
Alvin Kamara.
He tricked you. It wasn't a Monty. He was asking you who number 41 was because yesterday you forgot who number 41 was.
You had to Google it.
See? All right, so August 2nd, 2018. You're Monty the intern right now. You have to re-earn Jordan the name.
Yesterday was a brain fart. All right, Gus.
Today you went full Monty. See what I just did there, Joey?
Drop in money. That broadcast school is really
that's another
off.
Monty. I just gave you two Montys. Monty Python and the Full Monty movie. That's how good I am, Jordan. That's the last time we'll call you Jordan for the rest of the show. It's Monty the intern. But feel free to tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. You said Monty Ellis, right? Monte Ellis, all right?
Yeah.
Just fine. Tweet at Jordan some good Montys, since he's a little down about the name Monty. But give me some names, Monty. There's some good Montys out there. Monty Python's real good. It's not bad. You'll have your chance to re-earn your name tomorrow. But for us today, you're Monty the intern. Give me your parents' number, by the way.
9 minutes into the show.
Yeah. Give me your parents' number. I'm going to text your dad. He needs to call you Monty the intern. Monty the intern. The other observation Jordan made, though, he was talking about, what really kind of stood out today. And it was interesting because I kind of looked at him side-eyed. I'm like, what are you talking about? The big thing that we wrote on our notepad here today
was red zone.
And we'll hear from head coach Sean Payton coming up next segment. We said the number one thing I said, I asked him right before practice started. I said, okay, what are the questions that we're going into each practice, you know, looking? So I said, what's number one for me? And to me, it was, I want to see a day the offense wins. That more often than not, the offense makes the plays. That's kind of what I want to see. One day in which the offense makes a play. And today, when you have red zone and goal line, now again, the odds are in the favor of the offense on those plays, right? I mean, they honestly are. Now, that said, you had walkthrough speed, you had full speed, and then of course, you had goal line, ball at the 5-yard line, going from our right to left, pretty much into the fans on the opposite field from where the fan stands are, so closest to the team building. And yeah, ball at the 5, near side matchup. Michael Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore. It is just a little Nat sound as they practiced those team periods with music playing, I guess, to simulate noise. So it would be hard to make the checks at the line for the offense. And it was a one-on-one. I'm calling it the money fade. Brian and Elise, do you like that? The money fade. It's money. I'm not a huge fan of fades. I am not a huge fan of fades. Right? Cause I think immediately at the snap, you are, by virtue of the play, cause it's a jump ball. If executed perfectly, a perfect throw in a perfect angle, with a great catch, it's a touchdown. But I still think it's, you're asking, there's a lot of variables you're interjecting to make it more than a 50-50 play. So I always think, to me, I don't care for the fade unless you have a can't lose matchup. Right? Can't lose matchup. Now, Michael Thomas and Drew Brees are about as close to a can't lose matchup, which I'm calling the money fade, because Marshawn Lattimore, and I have the video posted at ESPN Radio and on my account at GCAT_17 as well. It's right there. I mean, it's in the angle that the ball is coming to in the corner of the end zone. So I'm shooting right at it. So you see Breeze. You see what he's seeing. You see how soon he throws that football. You see where it's placed. I mean, Lattimore's got coverage. I don't know. I guess you can say you want to see him jump into it. To me, it's good coverage. Michael Thomas the ball is just dropped to where Michael just has to wait for the ball to drop. It's a gorgeous throw. You want to see why he's a Hall of Famer? That's as good a view as you're going to get. I've always said this. That sideline view that I got for 2 years, it absolutely spoils you on how good he is, Drew Brees. That's not easy. Now they practice it. They work on it. But again, that coverage is perfect. He's throwing to that spot. Michael Thomas knows where that spot is. He's expecting the ball in that area. That's where he goes to. But I thought overall today in practice, the offense got the better of the defense on a couple of plays. Got a couple of touchdown catches, a couple of good runs and run periods that they had as well. So, you know, I don't think you'll be surprised to hear Sean Payton kind of echo that. But to me, I would say the first day, I can come here and say a day after practice, I thought the offense looked better than the defense. So that's a good thing. That's always a good thing. Joey, we got a submission from Brian who wants to chime in on now Monty the intern. Again, we're trying to come up with all the good Montys for Monty the intern. What do we have?
Three-card Monty.
Three-card Monty.
Former New Orleans Saint tight end, Monty Stickles.
Okay, there you go. Former tight end. See?
Eric on Twitter said Monte Carlo.
Exactly.
Monte Carlo. That's a real nice city.
And Monticello.
Former tight end. That's
glitz,
what we're
glitz and glamour.
Dolus Italians. Monticello. Yeah.
I'm telling you, some good Montys. It's not bad today.
Just, I don't want to hear the full Monty with Jordan.
Well, no. We do not want to see the full Monty with Jordan, the intern.
No.
Hour one will continue with Monty the intern, Gus Cattingale with you. It's the Sports Hangover. As always, hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Don't forget, go online, kinginjuryfirm.com. You will see the King Firm specializes in personal injury, maritime offshore, mass torts, workers' comp as well. Look, there's videos, bios of the attorneys. You can see who they are. There's a former LSU Tiger on the staff as well, who's an attorney. So go check them out. Have a little fun as well. It is hour number one of the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Brickham Light JR at @_BEMA. Our director of quality control, always there to make sure we get out of line or mess up. I love the Bima. At @GCAT_17, Joey, Monte Cristo.
Ooh, good sandwich. Count.
Yeah, it's a good sandwich. I like that. Keep them coming. As Jordan the intern's name has been switched to Monty the intern. Joey, do we have the sounder ready to go? In case people missed it. Reason being, I asked Jordan a question about practice and I got a yup. Yep. Second
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
That's it. So for the second straight day, when I get a yep, when I ask you an opinion and your chance to talk on the air, you gave me a yep.
Yep.
So now you are Monty, the color analyst for the Cleveland Indians in the movie The Major League. So there you go. At least for 24 hours. You will have a chance to redeem yourself tomorrow when we are live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Before you get your chicken tenders and your chicken fingers.
I'm going to go with something different.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why don't you go to Monte Cristo? See what I just did there? Bacon, yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll have a listener give you some trivia. And if you win, then you can go back to Jordan. Maybe we'll do something like that tomorrow. We'll have a little game show. You have to earn your name back. It'll be on the Saints. It'll be on the Saints. Since you're covering practice, it'll be on them.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Maybe he has to throw out numbers, and you have to tell us who the player is, because clearly you're there every day. No. You put that roster down.
Give me a number. Any
right
number.
Now? Yep. You should know this. 37.
I got 37. We got Arthur Millett.
Okay.
68.
We can hear the paper moving.
No, there's an offensive 68 and there's a defensive 68. There Which is. One do you want?
Defensive.
All right. I got DeVario Lawrence.
Joey, you know who DeVario Lawrence is.
Yeah, it's Mr. Lawrence's youngest child.
Exactly right. DeVario Lawrence. All right, one more and then we'll hear from head coach Sean Payton. You know this. Put the roster down. Put it down.
No.
Put it. You'll know this one. All right. You have to know this one.
All right, the roster's
down. If you
down.
Don't know this one, we may have to come up with another name other than Monty.
All right.
Number 10. Are you really looking?
Traquan Smith.
The fact that you had to look, shameful. Go punish yourself in the corner. Here's head coach Sean Payton. Spoke about 10 minutes ago following practice in its entirety. Here he is.
Today was another install, a lot more red zone work than we've run. Any questions on practice?
Sean, how far along at this point are you in the install?
I would say probably halfway with regards to categories. So we've been in the base first and second down, third down, red zone. We've got 2-minute short yardage goal line coming. We've got probably 5 more true install days. And I would say we're 4 installs in. In which we try to dedicate at least 2 days to each install.
And so a rookie, at this point, how many times all the way?
This will be the third time. You know, we had this in the spring, and the rookies, so this is kind of the third time we've been in this red zone install, and that's the idea about repeating it. And obviously you have more practice time now than you have in the spring. So in the spring, today's day 4 install would be a little reduced. There'd be certain things we'd just hold on because we don't have enough time in the OTA like we do here. But you get the base, you know, 75% of it.
How'd you like the red zone work this off?
I thought offensively we were better today. Defensively, not as good. And listen, you know, tomorrow will be on the same installation. We'll work more red zone. But I thought, you know, each practice goes back and forth that way. But I thought overall, offensively, there were a lot of good things. Defensively, we've got to be better.
What kind of effect?
That's listen. That is Boudreaux Sports from Lafayette, Louisiana. I have to put that plug in. It's basically a cool truck, and so instead of that tent at 67 degrees, that truck's at 25 degrees. So their periods of practice, and today wasn't a real hot one, but where we can get a position group in there to cool their core body temperature around, you know, down. By far, that's the most efficient unit I've seen. So it's, listen, it just got it.
How does it arrive? How do you arrive at 25 degrees?
No, that's the temperature if you're an Atlantic salmon. It's just what it is. I mean, so as bodies go in there, it goes to 28. But it's almost three times more cold than a tent.
Is that your idea, or did they approach you about
No.
it?
No. Bo would, look, LSU and Alabama and South Carolina, there are a few of these colleges that are using it. And so Bo had some pictures of it, and our guys right down the road here, it came on a, just like you'd expect, an 18-wheeler, dropped it off, and it's fitted inside a little bit with the flooring and seats. But it's a really good idea.
I had one former player describe it as a glorified meat locker.
I mean, look, we're just trying to get a cold, and when you have a short amount of time, even post-practice, it's good for these guys to get in there. And when the temperatures get hot, you know, you can't cool them down enough. And so I think coming out of there, you know, you feel a little bit more refreshed, and you're not just getting through practice. That's the idea of it.
So you've only had a couple of days.
Well, I think it's one element of recovery. You know, we're learning, and we understand that, hey, we got to be mindful of, you know, how long you're out here. You want to have an effective practice. You want to not just be running plays, and then you also have an answer if someone is going through, you know, a second level heat illness, or, you know, God forbid, something more serious. But the first thing we want to be able to do is cool the core temperatures down. We've always taken a lot of breaks, so we've handled the heat well. We've had to. But if you went back to Millsaps even, we had a cool tent. This is just much colder.
Sean, you've only had a couple of days exposure to Brandon Tate, but how has he looked, I guess, as a returner so far?
Well, I think, listen, that's the first vision. He's experienced, and, you know, so his skill set in regards to balance and getting under the ball, all of those things, he does pretty well.
You see any improvement in that today?
What's that? Well, look, it's hard to measure in practice. You get to really see the improvement when you start scrimmaging or playing preseason games.
John, when you have a player like Josh Huff competing for a roster spot, and you know he's going to be suspended at the beginning of the season, does that work against him, or does he have to show a little more to keep him, or what?
Yeah, if that were the case, though, all of that gets factored in, you know. And you got to pay attention to how you're starting the season and you know, who you're starting it with.
What effect do you think the new helmet rule is going to have on the game this year?
Well, I think, look, the officials are here. We'll go through the rule in a meeting tonight. Being part of the competition committee, I feel like I've got a good handle on what we're saying. I don't think you're going to see 40 players kicked out during the course of the season. I think you're going to see six or seven, you know, and you could point to those six or seven plays a year ago. We did. We identified these plays, you know, we have to remove from the game, and we have to make it safer. And so it's really, you know, avoiding that head down position. And we've talked about it. We've showed examples of it. Tonight we'll spend a lot of time on it. And I think very quickly the players will see how the game's being called. And I don't think it's going to be all the way over here like some of the media portrayed, where it's just chaos. I mean, it's crazy. These guys will adjust.
Are the officials clarifying that to the players, Coach?
Huh?
Are the officials clarifying that to the players?
Yeah, each visit they're here for 3 days. We'll have a video we'll watch and go through it all.
What kind of difference does it make
I think it's always important. You know, they can come out here in an environment where they can communicate. They'll throw a flag, talk to the player why, what they're looking for. I like having them here. I think it's good for them as well. When you talk to them, they feel like, you know, these guys are all working a crew in the regular season. We'll have them at Jacksonville. So they too want to practice and get ready. I think it's really good.
Coach, when you have the offense struggle for a couple of days, and behind the scenes an offense that's not used to struggling out here, is it a little extra motivation, a little more fired up than usual?
I think it's pretty common in training camp. I mean, it's pretty common for that to kind of go up and down. And I don't think it's anything unusual. I mean, I think it's happened in every training camp, you know, where you hope that it's not one unit just every day. You hope there's an ebb and flow to it that goes back and forth, and today it kind of went back, you know, in their direction.
It almost seems like Drew thrives after days like that, like comes back even better.
Well, look, that's the competitive nature you hope that exists within everyone of let's make these corrections and let's get ready to go. There is a mindset to a successful practice, and there's a lot to learn from one that isn't successful. You know, part of what we're doing here for a month is fine-tuning, making corrections, finding solutions. And, well, in order to do that, there's going to be not only success, but there's going to be failure.
Why are you about Mike Westhoff, where he's been? And, you know, here's a guy who has obviously some physical things that he has to overcome, but he's still out here coaching, and the guy's kind of a legend.
Yeah, listen, He's been a great addition for us. He went through a significant surgery this past offseason. You know, when you have a surgery and the crew has to clock out 12 hours in and you're still in the surgery, that's a long surgery. And so it's great to have him here. There's a level of expertise he has and confidence. And I think you see it, you know, with the players and he, Brad, and Kevin, those guys have done a good job, and we just finished meeting on it last night. You know, you score a special teams touchdown, and you win 72% of your games. So, you know, that's an area we're spending a lot of time on, and he's done a great job.
What are some of the reasons you're comfortable when you look at Floyd's production in Minnesota last year? Why would you be comfortable that that's not necessarily indicative of what he has?
Well, listen, we got time to look at them, right? We have 90 players. You know, we're not sitting here at 53. And I want to see him get his weight down. He's too heavy right now. But I think I know what he can be. And that's the cool thing about coaching is when you get somebody and you feel like you can make a difference. You know, it's easy to take a veteran that knows how to do everything the right way. But listen, if I'm as excited about his progress then he, you know, he can be as well, and I think he's got a shot to be.
John, what we talked to Taron Armstead yesterday, he was talking about kind of ragdolling Marcus Ford a few times. Have you talked to him, or do you want a young kid to go through that learning process?
Hey, absolutely. You know, it happens every year in our league. You go from UT San Antonio, and you're rushing against Taron Armstead. And we all, as youth, got better when we played up. You know, when if you're just playing at a competition level that's equal or below your skill set, then it's hard to sharpen that edge. So with a young player like Marcus, I think it's those are great reps. You know, and Taron can talk to him about, hey, this doesn't give me any trouble at all. So that's part of the learning curve, you know, when he can start rushing effectively against Taron, then he's probably going to be able to have that confidence each week, regardless of who he sees. But I think it's outstanding.
You don't worry about him losing confidence, you know?
No, we'll work rotation, and he's had plays and good plays, you know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, but he sees glimpses of it, and that's the good thing. So he's learning.
Sean, how about the foot side? Taron Armstead didn't see the light at the end of a tunnel for a while.
He's doing well. It's good to have him. Look, I said it the other day. He's not rehabbing. He was training, and when you do that and you come out on the land, you know, the guys that have been injured and not been really on the ground, you can be on a treadmill and a bike, but it's different when you're actually on the ground playing. So it's good to have him in. Shoot, he's not only an important player for us, but also an important leader.
Are you seeing things on film where you're like, maybe even haven't seen him looking like that in a year or two? Or
He's always been a really good foot athlete, and he's playing well.
Sean, some of those replays, is that just back in the defense to look against that? Or?
No, we want to be able to have different plays. If Taysom's in the game, we're not going to run every same play that Drew is in the game, in the same way with Tom. And so, you know, it's good for our defense to see, but it's also something we're looking at. All right, thank you.
That's head coach Sean Payton following this morning's practice. Number 7 in the books. Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. It's the way to go. Check them out online. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit of what we just heard from Sean Payton right there. Again, he also felt, I'm sorry, Monty the intern. The offense had a good day today, a little ebb and flow. I think he was a little happier, and finally the offense stood out and did a little something. Drew Brees bouncing back again. That play, Michael Thomas, corner of the end zone, the fade, beautiful over Marshawn Lattimore. It was nice to see. You wanted to see that, not because you don't think the defense didn't do well, because you heard Sean there, right? He said, the defense needs to get better. They've dominated training camp, and he was like, they better get better. I love it. I love how he's coaching this team. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. The leprechaun in the video is the best part, Joey. The brief version of the leprechaun just sneaks in there. I wonder if it's Monty. Exactly right.
You know what's funny?
What's funny?
So Lee's wife, that was at Harley Davidson.
Who?
Lee's wife.
Oh, Lee, yes, okay.
She said that I should tell you that you look like a leprechaun from like one of the movies, a movie.
I don't buy that.
You kind of do look like a leprechaun.
I look nothing like a leprechaun. Yes. I look nothing like a leprechaun.
Yeah, you kind of do.
No, I don't.
The size of one.
Okay. You know.
Small.
You know what? That's all the time we have for you. Brett McMurphy dropping that bombshell yesterday that he interviewed and saw the evidence from Zach Smith's ex-wife, Courtney Smith. Took off after the show. We were talking about during the show when it was happening, as we knew it was going to probably escalate a little bit here. I'm bringing it up because Brett McMurphy was on all over ESPN yesterday. SportsCenter, Van Pelt, this morning on Golic and Wingo. He had more to say. Obviously, he's like, look, it's just there. And he didn't want it to be a he said, she said sort of story. It's what he said.
I made it very clear. This was not going to be a he said, she said article. I wanted documentation, whether it was text messages, photos, emails, police reports, whatever she had, to verify what she was going to tell me. And in the case of reporting this, the more I looked at everything she had, there became a sudden pattern that, wow, Urban Meyer knew about this.
What's incredible is, and I get it, and this is why, do you remember, Jordan, Joey, we talked about this. Brian was in here, too. Remember what happened to the linebacker in San Francisco? The girlfriend comes out after he gets arrested and all that other stuff, and she's like, I made it up. And we said, an instance like that sets back cases like this and domestic violence moving forward in this country so far back. It just does. People are even more afraid to come forward. People feel that no one's going to believe them. The fact that I think, you know, I'm watching the top of the hour SportsCenter at 5 yesterday, and it led off. Now, I was texting Brian and Jordan, Joey, during the show, around the horn, or pardon the interruption, rather, and it was the fifth story, right? It was the fifth story. Now, mind you, I know they tape early. It airs at 4:30 Central, but they tape early. So my guess was, there's the headline, they have to touch on it. It probably happened while they were about to start filming. So they knew enough to comment on it, but they probably shouldn't because it sounded like they really didn't. Like, I was a little surprised. I don't know, Jordan, if you saw at the beginning of it, but I texted y'all about it. I should have tried to record the video off my DVR. But literally, they talked about it for about a minute, 60 seconds tops. And essentially, both men, Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, said they just we don't know enough. We have to, you know, who do we believe? It's Urban Meyer. We have to be careful. We have to, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh my, I'm like, shut up, somebody stop them. Because you don't know enough, or how do you believe her? I need to know for a fact that Urban Meyer was told or not told. How do we know his wife really told him? I don't know how many of y'all listening out there have ever been in a relationship. I have a hard time believing as a girlfriend, much less a wife, something like that happened, right? I mean, I know when my wife's friends, like, have trouble fitting into clothes come bathing suit season, or Joey, they have a birthday party a month and a half from now. What am I wearing? I kid you, I know more about what's going on with my wife's friends and their lives and their husbands. Private stuff, non-private stuff. I mean, it's not even close. So I have a hard time believing that one of my friend's wives comes to my wife and says, your buddy so-and-so is abusing her. You might want to talk to him, much less an employee here, or much less somebody that affects my job, her job. She works at Ohio State. She's a nurse and teaches classes at Ohio State, Urban Meyer's wife. So I was actually appalled because, look, we touch about this all the time. Jordan, you know, we're going to do podcasts. We Instagram. It's like it's when we watch practice, we have to man 5 different social media accounts, write notes, kill like sound me. That's what we do. We got to wear many hats. And it's funny because I always look at Jordan. I'm like, all right, who isn't doing a podcast? Everyone's doing it. And I kind of, you know, tease a little on that, in that the knowledge and that everybody knows what everyone is doing. But a lot of times we comment on our own medium, this media. And when I say this media, it's radio, it's television, it's social media, it's print. I mean, ESPN does all of that. And you heard me yesterday on the show. I was shocked. It took about 3 to 4 hours for ESPN to even acknowledge this story existed. It was the lead story everywhere. Awful Announcing, a site that kind of, it's in its name. It goes over and it, you know, documents people messing up in the media and stuff. They wrote a piece on, it took, what, 4 hours? Almost 4 hours for ESPN to even put it on the front page. It wasn't on the college football page. It wasn't. And I was appalled by how some of the anchors, some of the commentary of the questions being led into the analysts were. Look, whatever you feel about certain people or not, but I tweeted the video and sent it to Jordan and Brian, Sage Steele and Reese Davis. Reese Davis, the host of College Game Day. Of course, you want to have him on, comment, what have you. Reese says, hey, this looks like the beginning of the end for Urban Meyer. Before we got to that, though, Sage Steele's question leading into that, in it, she goes, isn't it awfully quick that we're jumping to conclusions here, Ohio State, to suspend him or put him on administrative leave? I'm like, wow. I mean, and she went on and added these other things. I'm like, all you have to do is go to McMurphy's Facebook page, which they had him on. There's pictures, there's video, there's her interview. It was just incredible to me that this person's word, this person's like, man, I don't know. It was just incredible because one of the things that I was texting a lot of my friends too is, if this is you or me, if we're not the head coach of a major, major college university, major college university, those allegations, those pictures, those videos, that interview enough puts us in jail. We're not even, right? I mean, we're not even talking about suspending. I get it. Urban Meyer didn't do it. I get it. But people go to jail for failure to stop things, you know? There's charges for if I knew and didn't stop it. It's just incredible to hear anchors go, oh, aren't we moving a little fast here? I mean, do we really know what we know? Because then she plays the soundbite. This is what's incredible. Plays the soundbite from Urban Meyer and Big Ten Media Days, in which he answers this about 6 or 7 different ways and questions. And he admits in 2009, the first incident, he says, we tried to get him, we got him counseling, we tried, so he knows there was something there. But it's just crazy, because again, remember, I read in the story, and it was kind of one of the things that set me off during a break, Joey, in which the special assistant to the head coach comes to her and goes, you know, you need to not press the charges, because he'll never work again. Not you. Not worried about you. He'll never coach again. And how will that affect you in your life, in your family? I was like, oh my goodness. It was just incredible to me. It really was. McMurphy saying there's no way the staff didn't know.
You see the emotion in these text messages, and so there's absolutely no way that their husbands didn't know. Because remember, there's a lot of guys on Urban's staff that has been with him a long time, going back to Florida, some even back to Utah, some even back to his days as an assistant at Colorado State. So this is a very close, tight-knit group. I would find it hard to believe that they were keeping this secret from Urban Meyer.
I mean, again, one of them, the head assistant to the head coach. Well, he's been drinking. Wow. Reason I bring it up, not only if you would like to discuss this and give your 2 cents in, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA, but the coaches poll is out. That's right. The 2018 preseason coaches poll has been released. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Clemson. And there they are. Number three, the Ohio State University. Georgia 4, Oklahoma 5. The next SEC teams, Auburn at 10. Washington, Wisconsin, Miami, and Penn State are 6, 7, 8, 9. Notre Dame's 11. Michigan State 12. Stanford, Michigan's 14. USC 15. TCU 16. Virginia Tech 17. Mississippi State, it's 18. They have a brand new head coach. Florida State 19, West Virginia 20. And 20 to 25 are like this. West Virginia, Texas, Boise State, UCF, LSU at 24. And Oklahoma State 25. So the coaches poll is out. Your Tigers 24 below Mississippi State. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Sean Payton touched on it as we come back. Hour number one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't forget, don't play the game of claims. With insurance companies, you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. So the NFL, you heard Sean Payton touch on the fact he doesn't think 40 players are going to get suspended. There's a lot of fear with this new targeting rule. How are the officials going to not throw people out or throw people out? Now, remember the NFL back in March, the new helmet rule. And look, again, I'm with them. It's some players have pointed out and said, hey, look, it's going to be hard because you're trying to lead with your shoulders. You can't lead with the helmet at all in any contact or tackle now. So here's what it boils down to. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with the helmet on an opponent. The contact is not limited to an opponent's head or neck area, and the lowering of the head and initiating contact to a player's torso, hips, and lower body is considered an infraction. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jordan the intern? Is that clear enough for you? How many times have we seen a DB lead with their head and put the helmet where? Knee, leg, thigh. You can't hit with your helmet at all is basically what I get out of that. At all. Now, it's probably easy to see that on a one-on-one 102 play. For example, Thomas Lattimore, they're playing. This Marcus Williams coming in on the hit with the helmet. It's easy to see if just two or three players are involved. There's a lot of questions. What happens when there are a lot more bodies around? I mean, it's kind of almost impossible if I go to tackle you and you're running the football towards me that my helmet doesn't touch your body. They've released a fact sheet. I kid you not. A fact sheet to help people understand better. Plus the penalties for a violation, which include a loss of 15 yards or, this is what Sean Payton was touching on, an ejection. One, player lowers his helmet to establish a linear body posture prior to initiating and making contact with the helmet. In other words, Jordan's coming towards me. I literally bend, helmet waiting for Jordan to make contact with me. That's easy enough. I can see that, right? Two, unobstructed path to his opponent. Three, contact clearly avoidable and player delivering the blow had other options. Again, so they're saying in a split second that I could have thrown my shoulder. I could have maybe tried to hit you with my forearm. Maybe tried to dive. Maybe tried to, I don't know, hit you with my rear. There's a handful of other ways, but oh, I chose to leave with my head. This is going to be difficult. I honestly think it's going to be very interesting to see I think this is going to throw the flags, right? Throw the flags and let the review people in New York deal with it. Because I don't know if that cleared up a lot for you, the fact sheet. You? I don't think it really cleared up too much. And again, Sean Payton just touched on it a little bit ago. Again, how is this going to work? Right? Now, as Sean Payton says, look, those plays are clear. Headhunting, where they look like torpedoes, things that nature. He says, look, you'll be able to know and tell the difference. We all know those plays and see it. But, like I said, it'll be interesting to see one of those two times where an official interprets, hey, he tried to leave with his helmet and it wound up costing him. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting once it gets moving on. But when we come back at hour number two, we'll hear from Craig Robertson, who might have had, I'm going to go with Jordan, the bite of camp. I'm sorry, Monty. I keep forgetting. Do me a favor. Grab a sheet of paper, put some tape over your shirt right there. Hi, my name is Monty, so I don't forget. Because you're Monty the intern right now. He's ignoring me, Joey. Oh, that's good. Greg Robinson has the bite of training camp coming up. We'll also hear from a couple of other Saints players as well. Michael Floyd, new member of the team. We'll hear from him. And Jonathan Williams, one of the running backs trying to compete for some snaps from Mark Ingram there. But I think, I don't know. I heard a lot of people yesterday talking highly about him. So Let's play that a little bit when we come back. Hour number two is the Sports Hangover. Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't pay the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING and KingInjuryFirm.com. Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.